All right, Rabbi Osei, good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. Today's daf, Baruch Hashem, is daf Vav. We are picking up on Hammond Beis. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Yitz and Shira Oppenheim in memory of Shira's father, Rabbi Aaron Felder, Harav Aaron, Ben Harav Gidalyo, Zichron Levrach. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Nisham will have an Ali and a family in Nechama. Thank you for the sponsorship, Mishkoyach. And also by Ayal and Sarah Steinberg, in honor of the yard site of Ayal's mother, Elia Daphna Bas Yosef. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her Nisham will have an Aliyah and the family in Nechama. So let's begin. We are picking up, actually, the Memra de Kanyalahu, which is 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up on the bottom. So remember, again, we were introduced to the really interesting case yesterday about the Yoledes. This week's parasha, woman gives birth, and she has to bring two karbanos. She has to bring an olon, she has to bring a chatos. An olon and a chatos. So what happens? So the Gemara says that, let's say, again, she offered up her chatos, and then she died. So her children go ahead and bring the ola. If, however, again, the reverse, if she offered up the ola and never brought the chatas and then died, so her children do not bring the chatas. So that distinction we understand, because halacha lemaisa, in chatas lachar misa, you can't bring a chatas after the death of the owner. So the Gemara says over here, the Gemara suggests the idea that perhaps, again, the children could receive some type of atonement through the ola of their mother. So the Gemara says, "Lameimra dekanyelu." Are you telling me then that when, let's say, the parent dies, that the yarshim inherit, that the yarshim acquire, I should say, the carbon itself? So the Gemara says, "V'hamar Rabbi Yochanan, hiniach min chalashnei banavu meis kreva." If a person, let's call him Ruvain, died, and he left behind a carbon mincha, or he had pledged a carbon mincha, but he did not offer it. So he left behind the carbon mincha. He left it to his two sons, Umes, and then he died. Kreva, the halacha is that the carbon mincha is offered. Ve'ein bo shutfus. But ultimately, again, the sons are not shutfim in that carbon. Meaning that the Rashi says over here, ein bo mishum shutfus. Interestingly enough, a carbon mincha cannot be owned jointly. You can't have a shutfus, you can't have a halachic partnership in a carbon mincha. So the halach is, if Reuven dies, leaves behind the mincha, his sons offer that mincha, but there's no shutfus. And if you hold that Yarshim acquire a carbon, then there should be a shutfus, right? Then ultimately, again, both sons should go ahead and acquire the carbon. And the problem with that would be what? Nefesh amrachmana. By carbon mincha, the Torah says there can't be two owners. There could only be one owner. To which the Gemara says, v'lo kanyelu. So you tell me then that Yarshim, that heirs, do not acquire a carbon. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, hiniach behema l'shnei banav umeis. If a man dies, call him Reuven, dies, and he left behind a carbon to his two sons, meaning he left behind, not that he left behind to his two sons, but he left behind the carbon. In other words, he died without having offered up a carbon that he had pledged. So what happens? Kreva, the halacha is that you offer up the carbon. Ve'in mamirin ba. But the halacha is that that carbon is not subject to the laws of temura. Remember again, what's temura? Temura is an illegal switching of karbanos. So the Gemara says, "Yamrit b'shlama kanyelahu." So if you say that the Yarshim acquire the carbon, haynu dein mamirin ba, then I understand why there's no halachas of temura vis-a-vis that carbon. Why not? Dahavi lahu kishutfin. Because Rabbi said, then the two sons are like shutfin; they are like partners in the carbon. Top of vav. Ushutfin lo matzu mamirin. And I will say, the halacha is, partners cannot do temura. Partners in a carbon cannot go ahead and swap out that carbon for something else. Why not? So Rashi points out, it's a very simple idea, because halacha lemaisa, the section of temura is written in the singular. So because of that, we learn that only an individual could do temura, shutfin can't do temura. But if you say that Yarshim, that heirs, do not really acquire the carbon of their deceased parent, then what? Amuri nami lemru. Then ultimately, again, one of them should have the ability to do tmura. To which the Gemara says, Shaini hasam do amakra im hamer yamir, lerabos es hayoresh. So ultimately, again, the Gemara says, we learn out from an extra drasha, im hamer yamir, to teach us that even a yoresh, even an inheritor, has the ability to go ahead and do tmura. Echad Meimir Vein Shnayim Mamir. However, again, despite that, the halacha is that only one person could do Tmura, two cannot. Maskif Rav Yaakov Min Arpakod. So Rav Yaakov Min Arpakod raises a kasha. Elamei Ata Gabi Meisr Dichsiv Ve'im Ga'ol Yigal. So we'll say the pasuk by Meisr says Ve'im Ga'ol Yigal Ish Mimasro Chamishi So Yosef Alav. If you redeem your Meisr, we'll say you have to add on an extra 1/5 surcharge. So watch this. The Gemara says the Rabbos Esayorish teaches us that not only could the owner of the Meisr go ahead and redeem the Meisr, but what? If let's say Reuven separated out his Meisr and Reuven died, his Yoresh, his inheritor, has the ability to go ahead and redeem the Meisr as well. To which the Gemara says, Hachanami Echad Golvin Shneim Golin. Are you going to see over here as well that the halacha is only one person could redeem, but two cannot redeem? To which the Gemara says, we'll say, now we know that that's not true. Shiny Meisr Degabi Avuon Nami Ise Beshutfus. We'll say Meisr is different because even when we'll call him Reuven, even when Reuven was alive, Reuven could also have jointly owned produce. And when there is jointly owned produce, both of the partners have the ability to redeem it. Amar Rav Asi Ravisha. Amar Rav Asi L'Rav Ashi. Umina. I Amrit Bishlama Kanya Luhu. So I'll say, going back for a second, if you hold that Yershim go ahead and acquire a carbon, then I understand why one of them has the ability to affect Tmura. But ultimately, again, if you hold that the Yershim do not acquire the carbon, then how is Tmura actually possible? So we'll listen to this. The Makdish, the person who consecrates the animal, he is the one who has the ability, he has the obligation to go ahead and add on the fifth if he redeems it. Umiskaper osetzmura. And the one who achieves kapara through the carbon is the one ultimately, again, who is able to affect tmura. Vahatorim mishalo al shel chavero. And if someone, about say, goes ahead and separates out, he's separating truma from for his friend, but he's separating it from his own produce. Tovas hana'ah shalom. Ultimately, again, he has the right to decide which coin ultimately to give the truma to. So we'll say, this is actually a very interesting halacha, just as a total side. The Gemara discusses over here who has different rights in certain consecrated items. So first of all, the Gemara says, the one who consecrates the item is the one who has to add on the additional fifth, should it be redeemed. The one who achieves kapara through the item is the one who has the power of tmura. And the last key is also quite interesting. Let's say again, my friend Reuven asks me to separate out trumas and maisrus. Truma, let's call it, from his produce. He's not home. He's away. He asked me, I've got to separate truma before I left. Can you separate truma on my behalf? I say, no problem, but look, I don't want to go over to your house. So what do? He tells, I go ahead and I separate out truma from his crop, from my produce. Now you can do that. Even though Me'ikar Adin, it's ideally preferable to separate out truma, what we call Mina Mukaf. Mina Mukaf means from the proximity. So the idea is that when separating out truma, you should separate out truma from the same pile of produce that's untithed produce. But, Bidyavet, if I go ahead and the produce is in location A, and I have different produce in location B, I could separate out produce from location B to be truma for location A. So Reuven asked me to separate out truma on his behalf. I separate out, but I separate it for my produce. And ultimately, again, it should count as truma for his produce. He'll pay me back afterwards. Let's say I, the person who separated out the truma, I have the right to go ahead and choose which coin gets it. Even though, again, it's not really my truma. Even though I'm doing this for Reuven, the right, what we call the tovas hana, the right to choose the kohanic recipient, ultimately, again, goes to the one who does the actual act of separation. To which the Gemara says, so what we see over here is that it's only the one, ultimately, again, who gets the kapara, who has the ability to do the tmura. To which the Gemara answers, mikviya lo mechapra, mikufya mechapra. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Umishani, mikviya lo mechapra, mikufya mechapra. Kapara kvua, sheyehe yoresh bailav mamish ein lahan. Hilchoch kabi mincha ksher likarev, dilo shutfinu. Aval kapara kufya, v'tsafa memela yesh lo bahan, v'hilchoch meimer. So this is actually quite interesting. The Gemara says, they kind of get what we'll call indirect kapara. That do Yarshim ultimately go ahead and inherit the carbon of their parents? And the answer is no. The answer is no. Both say. Now remember, what's the litmus test for that? The litmus test for that is if Reuven dies and leaves behind a carbon mincha. So what's the halacha? What's the halacha? The children could offer it up. Let's say Reuven dies. Keep it easy. Yaakov dies. He leaves behind two sons, Reuven and Shimon. Then what occurs? Reuven and Shimon are permitted to go ahead and offer up the carbon. But say, what does that tell you? What does that tell you? That Shutfin do not acquire a carbon. Why? Because if Shutfin acquired a carbon, then what? Then they couldn't offer up the mincha. Why couldn't they offer up a mincha? Both say, technicality. Carbon mincha cannot be offered up by Shutfus. There could only be one singular owner for a carbon mincha. The fact that the Yershim have the ability to offer up the carbon mincha tells me that what? Yershim have the right to offer up, and maybe even the obligation to offer up, their deceased father's carbon, but they do not acquire that carbon. I will say this is an incredibly important point. They are not Yoresh the carbon. They are Yoresh, the ability to offer up the carbon, but are not Yoresh, the actual ownership over the carbon. But we'll say, but that being said, they still have the ability to affect Temura. Why do they have the ability to affect Temura? Because who has the ability to affect Temura? He who achieves atonement through the offering has the ability to go ahead and affect Temura. So we'll say, Gemara suggests that the Yarshim have what we call indirect kapara through the carbon of their father. What does that mean? Does it actively atone? Does it actively atone for specific sins they may have committed? So the answer is no, but they have a general kapara, a general sense of a general atonement from general misdeeds through the offering of this carbon. So because they have even just this general atonement, therefore what? Therefore halacha lemaisa, they have the ability to affect Temura. Incredible. Ibailu, kipro amashabo. Olo Kipru, another fascinating shaila. So here's what we know. In general, right, going back to the topic of offering up karbanos, shalol lishman. Right, so here again, we have someone who is supposed to be offering up an ola. Instead, he offered up a shlamim. Let's say he was bringing this karban for a particular chait. So here's what we know. Bosa, if you were supposed to offer it up as an ola, but you offered it up as a shlamim, what's the halacha? What's the status of the karban? Is it kasher? Yes, right? It is kasher, right? Ultimately, the carbon is still kasher, even if you offer it up for the first Mishnah, even if you offer it up for the wrong reasons. But what's the caveat? Good. It doesn't count towards your obligation. So ultimately, again, you still have to bring another carbon to satisfy your obligation. So we'll say, now the Gemara asks another interesting question. Does it affect kapara on behalf of the owner or not? In other words, let's say the owner was bringing it for a particular chait. So ultimately, again, is the carbon mechaper for the owner? Now, you say to yourself, well, that sounds like a very open-ended question. The Mishnah says that if I bring it and I offer it up for the wrong intention, it doesn't count towards my obligation. If it doesn't count towards my obligation, it sounds like what? It's not mechaper. So the Gemara entertains the possibility here that that's not necessarily true. That you could have a situation where, halachically or legally, I am still obligated to bring another carbon, but the carbon does affect some level of atonement on my behalf. Take a look at Rashi. Kipro amashabo, kachim shenizbechu shalol lishman, yikrivu, utina lo'ol lushim chova. So remember, the Mishnah told me that if I offered it up for the wrong reason, it doesn't count towards my obligation. V'tzarech lahavi acher, and I have to bring another carbon. Miu mibayle, im kipru alacheit, sheofer shu'alov, v'nafkamina shalol yidag min hayisurim bentayim. We'll say, interesting, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is, can I feel secure in the fact that I have divine protection? Can I feel secure in the fact that ultimately, again, I offered up this carbon, I know I have to legally bring another carbon to satisfy my legal obligation, but can I rely on the fact that this carbon does in fact create some level of kapara, some level of atonement for me? That's the fundamental shayla. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshes Rei Dravidi, Mistabra de lo Kipru. It would appear quite obvious that this carbon does not affect any level of kapara on behalf of the owner. How so? Because ultimately, again, if you would think that the carbon affects kapara, then sheni lama huba. Then ultimately, again, why would I need to bring another carbon? As well, say, if kapara has been affected, then why do I need to bring another carbon? Ve'elamai, so what do you have to say? Lo kipru. Ultimately, again, we will say, when you bring the carbon for the wrong reason, as much as the carbon is kosher for its newly designated purpose, not only does it not satisfy my legal obligation, but what? It also does not give me any level of kapara. para. Velamailo kipru sa'ai lamhu karv. So we'll say, if that's the case, then halacha lemaisa again, that it didn't affect kapara either, so then why is it offered? To which the Gemara says, Amrav Ashi, Rav Shisha Reid, Rav Idi Hachi Kakashile. So Rav says, Rav Ashi says, this was Rav Shisha Reid, Rav Idi's question. I Amrit Bishlama Lo Kipru. So I'll say, ultimately again, if you want to say that such a carbon that was offered up Shalol Lishma, even though again doesn't affect any level of kapara, then Shalol Lishmo Mikoach Lishmo Kaasi. Ultimately, again, then what Rabbi was saying, we still continue to offer up that first carbon. Why? And I will say, literally, what this means is shelo lishmo mikoach lishmo kasi, which Rabbi was saying means what? Which means that halacha lemaisa, as you saw by the pasuk amotzas svasecha, even once you switch the designation of the carbon, I can still go ahead and offer up the carbon based on this new designation. Visheni lama huba, and ultimately, again, why is the second carbon brought? Lechaper. So I'll say, so again, if you hold that halacha lemaisa, that when you go ahead and you offer up a carbon lishma, not only does it not satisfy your legal obligation, but what? It doesn't provide any level of kapara. I understand both karbanos. Carbon number one, Abba says, is offered. Why? Because even though you switched the designation, the carbon is offered up as what? In accordance with its now newly found designation. Carbon number two has to be offered up to satisfy both my legal obligation as well as affect kapara. Eli amrit kipru. But I will say, if you say that halacha lemaisa, the first carbon does affect some level of atonement, then what? Sheni lama huba. Ultimately, again, why is a second carbon brought at all? So we'll say, the Gemara doesn't reach a resolution here, but the Gemara seems to indicate that halacha lemaisa, not only does the first carbon not go ahead and count towards the obligation of the owner, but what? It also doesn't go ahead and provide any level of kapara. We'll say, so you'll say to yourself, well, what's the nafkamina if it provides kapara or not? So it seems to be very pashut. The idea is, if it doesn't provide kapara, I need to be asking Slach Lanu Avinu Ki Chatanam Mishmona Esrei. I have to have in mind for this specific chait until the time that ultimately, again, I bring a carbon for kapara purposes. Good. Ibayluhu. As I say the la'achar afrasha mechapar lamechapar. These are really fascinating cases. What happens, Rabbi Osei? So the Rashi points out that we're talking about an ola. Now remember again, a carbon ola has the ability to atone for a variety of things, among them the violation of an assay. Violation of a positive command. We'll say, what's a simple example of a violation of a positive commandment? Person doesn't put on tefillin. Well, Shabbos could be lo sase, Shabbos could be yisurim as well. Person doesn't put on tefillin. Right? Person doesn't put on tefillin. So we'll say, if a person doesn't put on tefillin, I'm not over an Aveira, right? Although the Gemara has some pretty serious words for someone who doesn't put on tefillin. Yeah. But leaving that aside, right, I haven't violated an Aveira, but rather, again, I am not fulfilling an aseh, I'm not fulfilling a positive commandment. How do I atone for that, I was saying? Ultimately, again, atonement for that is reached through the Ola. Now, the Gemara has a very interesting question. What happens? So, obviously, let's keep it easy. I violated five assays. I go ahead and I separate out my Ola, offer up the Ola, I have atonement. What happens if I went ahead and I separated out my Ola, and I violated or I failed to perform an aseh, a positive commandment, after the Ola has already been separated, after it's been designated? Can the Ola be mechaper? Can the Ola atone for violation of assays after the Ola's already been designated? Or do we say no? An Ola is only mechaper on anything that I've done up until the point of, bless you, of designation and separation. But once it's designated and separated, kind of we're in lockdown. And if you violate anything else, you're going to have to bring another Ola for that. So the Gemara says, so Yibaylu, I say de la achar hafrasha mechaper lo mechapra, does the Ola have the ability to be mechaper for the non-performance of an assay after the Ola's already been separated or not? Mi amrinon, midi dehavi achatos. So do we say that ultimately again, the Ola should be like techatos? Machatos, the kodim hafrasha in de la achar hafrasha lo. So say, by achatos, we know the halacha is that achatos, it only atones for averus committed before the act of separation and designation. But after the act of separation and designation, what the chatas is mechaper for is locked in. So if I do anything else after separation and designation, even before what? Even before slaughter, I require another chatas. So as I could say that again, remember we already saw the pasuk that kind of links all of the karbanos together. So maybe an ola, just like a chatas, only could atone for those things which were performed prior to its separation and designation. So to again, ola could only atone for those things that were done before separation designation. To which more, oh dilma, lo dami lachatas, or maybe an ola is not like a chatas. Why not? Techatas akol chait vechait bay lasui echad chatas. So what that works for a chait is for a chatas is you can't bundle. In other words, what do I mean by that? So let's say a person says, you know what, I committed this aveira. You know what? Like, I learned Gana Hamuna, and I learned that principle number two is I'm going to sin. So, you know what? Let me engage in some, you know, cost-effective measures over here. Let's sin a couple of more times. Not intentionally, but unintentionally, of course. And I'll bring one chatas for a whole bunch of stuff. Doesn't work that way, Rabbi Osai. Each individual transgression generates its own chatas liability. Rabbi Osai, you know, one of the most amazing things that we know is that when Mashiach comes, so we'll say, you know, we're chayiv for back karbanos. Assuming there's karbanos in the Bayit Shlishi, we're chayiv for back karbanos. So mamish, like, can you just imagine what that is going to look like? I mean, it's going to be beautiful. But, you know, that line is going to be cute to, like, Netanya or somewhere. Like, you know, mamish, like, it's just an amazing, amazing thing. But specifically with chatas and the cost, right? Specifically with chatas, ultimately, again, it's one chatas per customer. I mean, one chatas per sin, I should say. To which the Gemara says, so maybe ola is not like chatas. On the flip side, when it comes to ola, one ola could atone for many violations of a different assays. To which the Gemara says, the chatas al chayit vayit. It's chatas v'hacha kevan dika kam assay gabe mechapra assay. Therefore, maybe assay de la achra roshnai mechapra. So we'll say maybe we could say just like an ola has the ability to atone for various transgressions or various violations of assays. So too it has the ability to atone for something even committed after the separation and designation of the carbon. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Tashma. So the Gemara says as follows: v'samach v'nirtza. So we'll say the pasuk says that he will do smicha, v'samach v'nirtza. He will go ahead and do smicha, and the carbon will be affected on his behalf. We'll say it's about the ola. So watch this. V'chi smicha mechaperes. So the pasuk makes it sound like smicha is what affects kapara. We'll say smicha, we'll discuss this in depth, but smicha is the act of leaning on the animal. So v'samach v'nirtza makes it sound like it's smicha which affects some level of atonement. V'alo in kapara ela bedam. But yet we know that what? True kapara, but says only achieved when? Through the sprinkling of the blood. So why does the pasuk say v'samach v'nirtza, which makes it sound like smicha affects atonement? To which the Gemara says, Shim, to tell you, Shim asa l'smicha shiari mitzvah. We'll say what it teaches me is as follows: if I made smicha like shiari mitzvah, we'll say what does that mean? If I make smicha like shirayim, like leftovers, well, what does that mean? So Rashi says, if a shiari mitzvah shelo nechshava be'ein avlo asa, if a person did not take smicha seriously and didn't do it. Person didn't do smicha, so what's the halacha? Ma'ala alav akasav ki'ila lo kiper, the keeper. The Torah treats it as if what? He didn't achieve kapara, but he really has achieved kapara. Which I will say, isn't interesting? The Torah is telling you that if you go in and you take the process of smicha and you treat it lightly, definition of treating it lightly? I don't do it. So the Torah says, it's as if you haven't achieved kapara, even though, in fact, you really have. So what the Torah is trying to do is, the Torah is trying to impress upon me the importance of smicha, even though what? It is a non-necessity for kapara purposes. Even though kapara can be achieved without smicha, the Torah wants me to treat it as if it is an indispensable part of the kapara process. To which the Gemara says, what does that mean? My love, the keeper asay the kodim hafrasha, lo keeper asay the smicha. Let's say perhaps what that means is as follows. Perhaps what that means is that in this case of an Ola, the Ola, if without smicha, the Ola will go ahead and be mechaper for any Avera or any violation of an Aseh that took place prior to the separation designation. But what will the Ola not be mechaper for, Abu Sa'i? The Ola itself will not be mechaper for the non-performance of smicha. Abu Sa'i, you hear this interesting shayla? The Gemara is suggesting as follows. I have an Ola, I'm supposed to do smicha. Smicha is a mitzvah, say, a positive commandment. Ola is atones for what? Non-performance of positive commandments. I don't do smicha on my Ola, which means that in the process of offering up my Ola, I fail to perform a positive commandment. What's the shayla? The shayla is, can that Ola atone for the non-performance of that positive commandment, which was a positive commandment associated with that very Ola? So the Gemara suggests that's exactly right. I've been waiting for this all morning. That's exactly the question. Because we'll say, what is that an example of? That's an example of a failure to perform a positive commandment after separation designation, but prior to slaughter. Does the Ola have the ability to atone for those type of averus, or no? Does Ola only atone for averus committed prior to separation designation? To which the Gemara says, maybe that's what the Gemara means. My love, the keeper, I say, call them afrasha. Maybe what the Brisa means to say is that the Ola has the ability to atone for positive commandments performed before separation designation. Lo keeper, I say, dismicha. And it doesn't have the ability to affect kapara. We'll say when. Ultimately, again, on the assay of smicha, or the failure to perform the assay of smicha. The habile assay del achra afrasha. Because we'll say that is the non-performance of an assay in the aftermath, after separation designation. Incredible. Amarava. Asay the smicha kam. So we'll say, just so you understand, we're asking just what, this is the one very simple question we're talking about. Everyone agrees that an Ola atones for failure to perform positive commandments. And everyone agrees that one Ola could atone for what? Right? Many non-asays, we'll call, I don't want to call it violations because it's not a violation, but we'll call it many acts of non-performance. The fundamental shot that we're asking is, does it only atone for violation of assays prior to separation designation, or no? You keep building up whatever you wanted to atone for up until the point of slaughter. That's the fundamental shayla. Amarava, assay dismicha kamed. Now everyone will agree. I will say, when you talk about the Ola having the ability to atone for the non-performance of smicha, that's different. Shani hasan the chol kama de lo shachit ba'amud v'samach koi. We'll say, ultimately, again, smicha is different. Why? Because the obligation of smicha, we'll say, applies until when? Until the point that the animal is actually shechted. Emas kahavi asay de la, right? When ultimately, again, when emas havi asay de la, emas havi asay, we'll say, at what point in time is it considered as if I have violated the assay of shchita? It's when, Rabbi Osai, it is la'achar shchita. The only time I violate the assay of not performing smicha, Rabbi Osai, is when? After the Ola is slaughtered. And everyone agrees, la'achar shchita lo kamei bala. Rabbi Osai, everyone agrees that what? That the cutoff, the latest possible cutoff for the atonement ability, or we'll call it atonement load of a particular karban, is when? Is shchita. Everyone agrees that the carbon can't atone for anything that occurs after the shechita. That makes sense. So we'll say, what the Gemara answers over here is, everyone will agree that an Ola, the Ola, cannot atone for its own non-performance of smicha, right, on that carbon. Why? Because when do you violate the assay of not having done smicha? Only after shechita. After because again, you could do smicha anytime until shechita. After shechita, everyone agrees that the carbon could no longer atone for anything that was not already included in its previous load. To which the Gemara says, Amos Kahavias, I'm sorry, I just lost. Amarava, I see the smicha kamer shani haisam, to call kamed lo shachet, but amud v'samuch koi. Amos Kahavias, I say la achashchita lo kami bailan. Amarli rafuna bar Yehud l'rava, I'll say last line. Ema, Keeper Gavra. So we'll say, maybe when the Brisa says before keeper velo keeper, what it means is as follows. Keeper Gavra, that ultimately again, when an individual goes ahead and brings this Ola, but he didn't do smicha, so Rashi points out, he achieves kapara that nitzal min hayisurin. This kapara will be enough to afford him divine protection. However, Amud Beis, lo keeper kamishmaya. Rabbi say, ultimately again, Rashi says over here, lo kapi kamishmaya lenachas ruach lekono. The law of mitzvah min amuvchar. So maybe at the end of the day, he has not fulfilled his obligation vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has not performed the mitzvah min ha-muvchar, and therefore has to go ahead, and therefore, has to perform the mitzvah min ha-muvchar. So we'll say, remember again, what we were talking about, so the Braisa said that if halacha levaisa, a person brings a carbon and doesn't perform smicha. So we said, what's the status? Keeper velo keeper. So approach number one doesn't mean he's atonement, has atonement, but not atonement. So possibility number one is that ultimately, again, he has atonement, but we're not happy with him. Meaning, at the end of the day, even though, again, the carbon is kasher without smicha, it's as if you didn't achieve kapara, even though what? You did achieve kapara. Okay, meaning we're unhappy with you. Possibility two, the Gemara has to suggest in the name of Rav Huna Bar Yehuda to Rav is that no, maybe keeper means on one hand, I achieved atonement in that I have achieved some level of personal atonement, in that, again, I'm saved from any type of additional suffering for my sin. But Kaveh Shmaya, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have not really done a good job. You know, sometimes Rav said, we know in life, it's an incredible Musa as well. Sometimes in life, I could satisfy the criteria. In other words, I could check the box, but I haven't done a good job. I've satisfied the obligation. So I checked the box, but I've not done a good job. Maybe that's what we're saying over here. Check the box. Did you bring your Ola? Check. Right. Did you do a good job? Absolutely not. Got the job done, but did not do a good job. So the Gemara says, after all, Milo Tanan. Have we not learned? Vanos, it's amazing. This week's parasha. Vanos, Rabbi Shemin Asher Alakaf. But say that this is talking about the kapara of the Metzora. So the person stricken with tzaras, so part of his atonement process is what? Is that there's oil, right? The coin takes oil, smears it on the thumbs and the big toes and the earlobes. So the Gemara says, and whatever's left over in the palm of the coin, he puts on the head of the Metzora. So b'shemen asher lakaf, lechaper alav, lefnei Hashem. So we'll say the coin will take whatever leftover oil there is. Here it's vanoser b'shemen asher lakaf, a coin yitin al rosh hamitaher, vechiper alav, a coin lefnei Hashem. So whatever leftover oil is in the palm of the coin, he puts it on the head of the Metzora. So watch this. Im nasan keeper, v'im lo nasan lo keeper, div Rabbi Akiva. So we'll say, what does Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva says, look, if the coin puts the oil on the head of the Metzora, then kapara has been achieved. But if he doesn't put the oil on the head of the Metzora, then what? No kapara. Rashi says, Im nasan shirayim ala rosh Metzora keeper, de kapara amatanos harosh kesiva. So the Gemara says as follows, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, no. Shiari mitzvahim. It's not true. Now, where does Rabbi Akiva get this? That if you go ahead and you put the remaining oil on the head of the Metzora, then he's tahar, but if not, he's not. So remember, the lashon of the pasuk is, V'anos ha-reshton asher akaf ha-kohen yitin ha-rosh ha-metaher, v'chiper alav ha-kohen lifnei Hashem. So the Rabbi Akiva says the pasuk itself hinges kapara on the oil application. If the Kohen puts the remaining oil on the head of the Metzora, then the Metzora has kapara. If he doesn't put the oil there, then there's no kapara. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, not true. Shiari mitzvah, Rabbi says shiari mitzvah, it means again, putting the application of the blood on the head of the Metzora, is like shiraim, leftovers. Leftovers, meaning it's not that it's not important, but it's not necessary. Narnas is wrong, what'd you say? It's not essential. Right, of course, it is necessary, it is important, it's just not essential. So the Gemara says, Bein nitan, bein shalom nitan, keeper. Whether the coin put the oil on the head of the Metzora or not, the Metzora achieves kapara, umma'alin alav kilolo keeper, but yet we treat it as what? We treat it as if he did not have kapara. So both sides say, hear this strange lashon. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, if the Kohen fails to go ahead and put the extra oil on the head of the Metzora, so keeper velo keeper. So ultimately, again, it's as if, so what we say is what? Really, he does achieve kapara, but we treat it as if he didn't achieve kapara. So what does that mean? Ma'a ki'ilo lo keeper. What does it mean when we say that he did achieve kapara, but we treat it as if he didn't achieve kapara? To which the Gemara says, "Ilema demi boil esuye carbon achrina." If you want to say that, it means that the Metzora has to bring another carbon. Ha'amrit bein nitain bein lo nitain keeper. You'll say that can't be because remember we just said before that what that meikra din he's mechupar, right? That meikra din he's atoned for. If meikra din ultimately kapara has been achieved, you can't require him to go ahead and bring another carbon. Ella kiper gavra lo kiper kamishmaya. Rather, what you have to say, Bosa, is that what happened by the Mitzora is the Mitzora has affected his personal level of atonement, but God is not happy with this. In other words, you fulfilled your obligation, but you didn't do a good job. So in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the act is deficient, but Lamaisa, again, the act is still legally sound. So you can have an act which is legally effective, but spiritually empty. That's the emergency. Hachanami. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Why don't we say the same thing over here, Bosa, by the Ola that is performed without smicha? Keeper below keeper, that what does it mean? That halacha lemaisa will say that by the Ola without smicha, we'll say what happens? It's kosher, it's good. But what? Lo keeper kamishmayo. Ultimately, again, such a carbon does not give nachas ruach to the Ribono Shel Olam. To which the Gemara says, Hasanami keeper matan bahonos. So the Gemara says, Hasanami keeper matan bahonos lo keeper. Excuse me, Hasanami keeper matan bahonos lo keeper matnos harosh. But say, well, why don't you say that by the Mitzora that it means something else? Keeper means about say that. Remember, what's the case over here? The case over is where the Kohen did the oil applications on the thumbs and ultimately again on the ears, thank you. So maybe when it says keeper, it means anywhere the Kohen did do the oil applications, it's mechupar, but maybe lo keeper is matnos harosh. Maybe what it just simply means is he has to do the head applications again. Tashma Rabbi Shimon Omer, kivsi atzeras lamayim. So we'll say the Gemara now switches gears for just a moment. So remember, we doesn't appear, we're still stuck a little bit on this intriguing lashon, ultimately again, of keeper, lo keeper. About ultimately, again, what does it mean? What does it mean that there is kapara, there is not kapara? So the Gemara says as follows. Kivsi atzeres, shlam ninu. So we'll say the kivsi atzeres, which are the lambs, which are offered up on Shavuos, shlamim ninu. Ultimately, again, they are a karban shlamim. So we'll say, there's a very strange verbiage over here. Ela si'ir atzeres lama hinboin, al tumas mikdash v'kadashav. We'll say, why are the si'irim of Shavuos brought? We'll say, so what they atone for is tumas mikdash v'kadashav. We'll say, remember again, we saw this in our Shavuos days, right? That ultimately what? That if you go ahead, the si'irim of Shavuos have, it's not just Shavuos, by the way, it's the si'irim of every yomtiv, have the ability to affect atonement if somebody inadvertently went ahead and either entered into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah or offered up karbanos in a state of tumah. Nizrak damo shel rishon sheni lama karav. Ultimately, again, but once the first kaveh, once the first lamb is offered, why do I need the second one? To which the Gemara says, sheni lama karav al tumah she'ora bein zeh lazeh. It must be for what Rabbi Osayin? It must be for an act of tumah that occurred between offering number one and offering number two. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Sheni lama karav, v'alo rishon kipar al tumah she'farav. Let's say, see, Gemara has an interesting question. If you're telling me that the kivsi atzeres, the lambs offered up on Shavuos, have the ability to atone for tumas mikdash v'kadashav, inadvertent entry into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah, or inadvertent offering of karbanos in a state of tumah, so we'll say, what are only two? Or is, why can't one lamb atone for that? What does the second one come for? So the Gemara suggests it must be that lamb number two comes to atone for any acts of tumas mikdash v'kadashav that may have occurred when? Between one and two. Look at Rashi. Bein zeh lazeh. Chasaka daitcha bein hakravaso shazeh lakravaso shazeh. To which the Gemara says, Amar me'ata, emar me'ata, ruin ha'yisra lahakrav karbonosim b'chol eis u'b'chol shah. So see, in reality, really we should be offering up karbonos all the time for the possibility of tumas mikdash v'kadashav. Ela, shechisei chakosav. But the Ribon Shalom has rachmanas on our wallets, and therefore, again, does not require us to constantly offer up karbanos on behalf of tumas mikdash v'kadashav. So we'll say, so v'hal ha'cha da'asei de'la'achar afrasha, de'chamachapra. Now we'll say, now again, they see over here that what's happening? We're assuming now that we're going ahead and we're separating out these kavasim, these kifsatars, these lambs. We're offering up one, then offering up two. Why am I offering up two? In the event that any act of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav occurred in between one and two. So the Gemara says, but 1 second. That doesn't make, well, what, not that it doesn't make sense, but what does that show me? But say, now we're assuming right now that one and two were separated at the same exact time. So we'll say, now what's the halacha? We're telling me now that if something happened between one and two, then what? Two has the ability to be mechaper for that. Now we'll say, what does that show you? That's after two has already been separated. What do you see from here? That a carbon has the ability to effect atonement on behalf of something, even after the carbon has been separated. To which the Gemara says, well, if the carbonos were separated at the same time, then I would agree with you. This would be a proof that a carbon has the ability to be mechaper for something, even after it's been separated and designated. But I askin, and I will say, what's the case over here? The afreshinu b'za'achazeh. We'll say the case by the kifsi atzeres is, in fact, they are not separated at the same time. We'll say, rather, what? They are separated ultimately again, one after the other. So the Gemara says, to which the Gemara says, "Veleiku velemalekra dechiksiva bezeachazekiva." So the Gemara says, "But I don't understand. If that's the case, then ultimately, again, why don't you say? Why don't you say veleiku velemalekra dechiksiva bezeachazekiva?" So you're going to tell me then that that's what the pasuk is talking about? They will say, "But pashlus, that's not the pasuk. But pashlus, when we see God kifsi atzeres, they will say, when are they separated? The pashlus is they're separated at the same time. You now want to set this up as a case of where you separate out one." And then sometime later on, separate out two. In which case, when two is mechaper for events that occurred between one and two, it's not being mechaper for things that occurred after the hafrasha, but rather prior to the hafrasha. The problem the Gemara says with that particular approach is that what? Is that Allah Lamai said, that's not the mashmaos of the pasuk. That's not the pshuta shel mikra. Rapapa, karbano sibur kamrit. Rapapa says, you're talking about karbano sibur? Right, communal offerings. So ultimately, again, says the Gemara, "Shiny karban of sibur delave based in kamasna alehen." To which the Gemara says, "Papa says something amazing. He says karban of sibur are different. Why are karban of sibur different? Because at the end of the day, Beis Din goes ahead and makes a tnai when it comes ultimately again to karban of sibur. There we'll see Abosai. Beis Din legislates certain realities when it comes to Karbanos Sibur. What those realities are, ultimately, again, we'll pick up with this sugya tomorrow. I just want to end off with one.